You're listening to Work Tape, episode 161.
Welcome to another edition of the Work Tape podcast. It's your boy, Money Mitchell, Isaac Rubin Grover.
Good day, people.
And we're going to be jumping into the year of 2004 in this episode. We're still continuing our retrospective series on landmark albums. Just a quick bit of music news, though, in relation to our last episode. It is official that Oasis is getting back together and doing some dates throughout the UK, and I think they're going to expand into the US as well. So that's just a little bit of an update to our last episode, since we did cover Definitely Maybe in the 94 installment of the series. Now, whether or not they will get through all of these planned shows without beating on each other is yet to be determined, but it still is a pretty vital piece of recent music news that I think.
If someone were to ask if it was going to work out, you could say definitely, maybe.
Wow. Yeah. You're definitely going to have a bunch of people in like parkas and, those sunglasses too. Yeah, exactly. You know, in a way, Oasis getting back together is almost kind of the equivalent of, if there was an Eras tour for British people, then this would be it, basically.
That's a really good point.
it really is. It really is the Eras tour for like Britpop and just English people as a whole.
It's so nice that they're getting over this wonder wall between them.
Yes. Well, I mean, the check is probably just huge in terms of what they're going to get on the money side. So, I mean,
yeah, it's the money.
Yeah, definitely. I think they're saying that they're projected to make more just on these dates than maybe they even did in their prime in the 90s, which is hard for me to believe, but I guess it could be possible.
So it makes logical sense why they're getting together. It's just because of the pay.
Exactly. Yeah. So, but fast forwarding 10 years to 2004, you're really in the aughts at this point. It's, you know, post 9/11. So, I mean, 9/11 didn't necessarily have like a huge impact in terms of music. Well, actually, one album in particular on here is definitely inspired by like the political climate. Whether or not we'll actually get to that is yet to be determined. But like I said, the early aughts, the internet is in its inception right now. You do have the post-Napster type of thing.
And you have Facebook coming up.
Yeah, post-Napster, but pre-Spotify. So it's more like the true like iTunes era of things. So definitely different in terms of people consuming music. And just like 94, I feel like as well on this list, you do have a lot of prominence with indie rock as well as hip-hop too. And actually more of independent hip-hop as well. With the hip-hop and R&B categories, you do have some major releases from, you know, the heavy hitters of the genre, but you also have, once again, some kind of more independent releases too. And one of the definitive albums in this discussion, it always goes back to Ye, it seems like, but College Dropout. You can't talk about hip hop in the 2000s, and you can't even talk about albums in 2004 or just albums in general at this point without College Dropout being thrown in there. Because it is a great album. It's, you know, obviously way before Ye got addicted to nitrous, you know, so his mind was definitely there.
It is a monumental album. No, sorry, caught me off guard with that.
It really is. No, it's a terrific hip hop album. And you know, the thing that's great about it is that, you know, this was so unlike anything at the time. You had, you know, what became kind of the definitive Chipmunk Soul type of sound from Kanye. You know, he had done some producing work for, you know, Jay-Z and, you know, some of the other Rockefeller artists who had that stuff, but he really came into his own production-wise on here. I think the album is pretty well balanced You have some songs where he doesn't take himself uber seriously on like the new workout plan or slow jams, which slow jams lyric about a white skinned friend looking like Michael Jackson and a dark skinned friend looking like Michael Jackson will also always be hilarious. But when Kanye needed to get serious, he did too. He had songs like Family Business. He had songs like Last Call. Even the opener on here is kind of more of a blend between the two. But I mean, what can I say about this that really hasn't been said already in terms of just, groundbreaking?
It very much popified hip hop even more. And then Graduation would, I think Graduation is a better balance of that. I know it's very subjective, but Dropout was a, I don't know, it's just kind of different. Something that the hip hop space hadn't heard, not quite like that, because, say what you will about him. I'm not crazy about him either. But I also think it's kind of unfair. We're all just people. Mm-hmm. So as an artist, I think we needed Kanye, dude. I mean, College Dropout and just all of these albums that would come after. He, in my opinion, he pushed the industry. He kind of kept the industry on their toes because everyone else was kind of, I feel like people were resting on the laurels, and then Kanye just kind of came on and it's like, what's good with it? And then everyone's like, oh shoot, we better up our game. So I feel like College Dropout is a start of that era, especially in creativity when it comes to these mainstream artists for sure.
Yeah. I mean, Ye kind of did similar to Nas, 10 years before in terms of coming with something that's just so refreshingly original.
Yeah, it was fresh. Yes.
Both of them had kind of more of the conscious type of sound too. Although, I mean, I think Kanye got called, stuff like backpack rapper a couple different times with kind of the more conscious lyrics. But like I said, just an absolutely great record. MF Doom had two huge releases this year. He had Food as well as Mad Villainy. Now with Food, this is pretty much like MF Doom at his most kind of like experimental, and the whole concept around it, as the title suggests, is that there's a lot of song titles that have food related song titles, and it's kind of more of just a laid back, chill kind of listen. There are some big songs on here though. Rap Snitch Knishes being one of the big singles on here that didn't get a lot of attention at the time, but did get more of a resurgence through like TikTok. People listening to that guitar riff mostly, and putting it over various videos. But really the big one on here is Mad Villainy, MF Doom's collab with Madlib, the, more lo-fi producer. There's a lot of similarity, I think, in Madlib's production to say like a J Dilla or a DJ Premier or a Ninth Wonder. Although I think with Madlib, he kind of was one of the first people to really go heavy with the actual sample and not necessarily have a ton of drums on the track, which is something that later got emulated by producers like Conductor Williams and some of the more modern producers. But I think Madlib definitely like kind of started that in terms of more of like the actual sample carrying a lot of the weight of the song. And then you do have, MF Doom with his extremely distinctive voice and rhyme scheme. So it's definitely one of those where it's a hip hop classic for a reason. But it's definitely in a different way than the College Dropout, where the College Dropout was more of a kind of mass appeal hip hop record. I think,
MF goes in the opposite direction for sure.
Yeah, he's more on the independent side. He's more on the, that's all I'm going to say, I think, on that.
There's an alternative indie flavor to MF Doom compared to other rappers. So I think that's what's made him so interesting is his, obviously his mystery, but I don't know. He just kind of goes left when everyone's going right. And I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah. And definitely when it's paired up with, you know, Madlib, who has a really good ear for samples, like I said, in the same way that, not in the same chopping sense that, you know, Dilla would do it with, where, you know, Dilla like surgical with the chops. Madlib's not exactly like that, but he does still have a good ear for samples, kind of like, I guess, like Alchemist in a way too.
Oh yeah, Alchemist is, oh, he's so good.
Where they have a really good ear for samples, and they kind of let the samples themselves do a lot of the heavy lifting.
I think those are my favorite tracks in hip hop, because when you let the sample speak for itself, it, you know, it makes a huge difference. There are a lot of people who don't let it breathe. So I love when producers let it breathe.
Yeah. So, and that's definitely becoming, I would say, more of the trend with even a lot of mainstream hip hop artists in our era who are, you know, kind of leaning towards those producers and that production style to have a more, you know, soulful, more minimalist approach, where it's either like no drums or very little drums on there at all, and just kind of letting the piece of music go. And so that's really dope as well. More on the mainstream hip hop side, you do have Eminem with Encore, as well as Snoop Dogg with Rhythm and Gangsta. Snoop Dogg, this album was huge, mostly because of Drop It Like It's Hot. We're all caring.
I've heard so many hip hop tracks rip off that one song. Yeah. Just that one.
Yeah. But definitely like a modern day classic though, in that respect.
It's kind of like Royals. Royals kind of takes that same kind of just drum and bass kind of sound. Or drum, just the beat, I guess.
Yeah.
Not drum and bass as a genre, but it's just stripped down, just beat.
Yeah, but I mean, it's definitely, I think, a modern classic where you hear this track in a club or at a party and everybody knows it. Everybody's going to sing along to it. Actually, very similar to Yeah by Usher, which he came out with Confessions this year too, which I don't know if I'm going to have quite enough time to get in on this particular episode, because that album is really great too in terms of the R&B pop kind of sphere of things. But, you know, Yeah by Usher has that same like modern classic type appeal where you hear it and you know exactly what it is. Of course, Lil Wayne with The Carter. It was always a big deal when Wayne dropped at this time, because he was like the guy in hip hop for a long time.
His peak, he was on top of the world in 2008. I was kind of surprised at how many albums he had released prior to the Carter 3.
Yeah, exactly. The Carter 3 is definitely, I would say, the pinnacle of Wayne from a popularity perspective, but also, well, I guess a lyrical perspective too. Although, I mean, I will say with, you know, the Carter and even the Carter 2, like, you did have like the foundation of things going here. You did have, you know, a lot of that. And, you know, pretty much a lot of hip hop heads would say that Wayne through the 2000s and maybe even in the early 2010s was kind of like unstoppable for a while. It was, you know, and of course you put on, you know, Drake too at the early or the in the later 2010s, you know, he put on, you know, or early 2010s, he put on Drake, you know, as well. So that definitely kind of kept his dominance of the industry up for a while. Get Lifted by John Legend is on here, which is probably one of the most like straightforward R&B soul records that came out at this time. It's his debut, produced very much by Kanye as well at the time.
Which worked.
Yeah, it did. It really did. Well, Kanye's production style and John's approach with songwriting, vocals, and piano does work really well together. I think that when John is working with Kanye, that's some of the better records that have come out.
They bring out the best in each other. That makes sense.
Yeah. And it's unfortunate right now, though, that we're probably never going to get another collab between those two because of stuff that Ye did on the political side. And so it's kind of a bummer that we're not going to get more of that.
Well, not in this landscape anyway, considering how we lack that conversation skill. But anyway.
Yeah, but still a really great record. I mean, there's even the deeper cuts on there are really good. Ordinary People is the huge song on that record.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Yep.
That's good. That kind of is the one that set John as a bit of a balladeer, and he would capture that same success, you know, about 10 years later with All of Me as well, which also just went huge. But this is still a really great, like I said, record. Just like I said, a very, very straight ahead in terms of like R&B and soul, though. It is very much like that is what it is. And then with Ye's production, of course, you do have more of like the Chipmunk soul aspect on some of that stuff too. So overall it's a good listen. But yeah, no, that's a straight ahead R&B record and soul record. And I mentioned Usher with Yeah and Confessions, and that's another album that is very much a straight ahead R&B, but straight ahead R&B with more of hip hop in there. But we'll definitely need to cover that as well as some of the other great records that are falling under this kind of pop and hip hop category with, like, you know, Confessions. Gwen Stefani had her solo album at this time, which I think, is this the one with Hollaback Girl on it?
Oh, I'm almost positive. Yes. I'm so positive. Yes. I have to confirm this.
Make sure of this because
I'm so positive it's In Love.
Yeah, I have to look. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. No, yep, Love. Okay, yeah, it's no, On Love.
This is the album that I'm thinking of. Okay. Yeah, so there's definitely...
Meme annoys me so much, though.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. It was one of those songs that was very annoying at the time to listen to. But still, you know, immensely popular for a reason, and especially in the pop side of things and R&B, you're going to get a lot of Pharrell in here. Pharrell and the Neptunes were kind of at the height of their creative force as well at this time. So we'll get into that a little bit more in the next episode. Hopefully we'll get to a lot of this indie and alternative rock too, because there's a lot there as well.
There is so much. There is a treasure trove of that stuff. So we will definitely get into that next week.
Yes. So this will wrap up this particular episode of the Work Tape Podcast. Money Mitchell, Isaac Ruben Grover. Stay well. Be good to one another. And much peace and love.
Peace be to all of you. Bye.